Good afternoon, another day, another afternoon, another Tuesday of being, not being arrested by the Anti-Corruption Commission. So every day that rises and sets, we say thank you to Almighty that Sankwasa and Paul Snoa did not show up at our doorsteps, albeit for those of us that don't know a guy who knows a guy who has some connection to anyone that likes to frequently use the word tender in their day-to-day conversations, you and I don't have anything to worry about. And, I mean, I've observed that a bunch of them are being given, you know, bail, like some reason, 10,000 bail, 10,000 bail. I'm like, eish. I totally get the whole idea of bail, but that means, well, that $10,000 bail is coming from the Christmas budget, which is, it hurts deep. Can you imagine how many 3-for-50s would I be getting from my $10,000 bail? This is just not fair. But, it's not about being fair or not fair. Just, here to point out that our, local authority elections have kicked in from the look of things. Have they now? Yeah. I'm not here to talk about, whatever elections or whatever allegations of corruption and all that. I'm just here to talk about cyber security. And not from an expert point of view, like, you know, this is how you should tweak it. Is it tweaking or twerking? Which one has to do with confusing my gender, and which one has to do with also confusing my gender, if it something that has to do with cars and, you know, with cars and stuff. Let's stay away from words that could or that may or may not get me into some serious trouble, both at home and abroad, and at work. Sorry. Now, today's discussion is about cybersecurity, and this is largely based on the event that took place yesterday, which was the Bankers Association of Namibia and the Bankers Association of Namibia BEN, or an Bank of Namibia BON. That was my favorite part of those two. Bankers Association of Namibia BEN, B-A-N, and Bank of Namibia B-O-N. So, yesterday, BEN and BON, together with key industry partners, hosted a fraud and cybersecurity risk awareness summit. So, where they looked at some of the most interesting things that is basically worth realizing when it comes to the discussion of cybersecurity awareness. This is not a cybersecurity per se, because that one would require expert analysis to basically sort of like when you say just cybersecurity alone, if it was cybersecurity alone, it would be like what are some of the it sounds somewhat too technical. But yesterday's summit was not on cybersecurity alone. They zoned in. They were very specific into what to discuss. So more like what to what was on the agenda, and that was the summit was about cybersecurity awareness. It's basically an awareness campaign. Like telling you, beware of COVID-19, wear your face mask, stay indoors, and festive season, road safety awareness, don't drink and drive, fasten a seatbelt, look both sides of the road before crossing for pedestrians, golf tours, and all that. So this one is on cybersecurity. Basically, they covered a whole lot. I mean, this was a 5 hour event. And they still have it. You can still find it on YouTube. They have it was a 5 hours and a bunch of minutes event, of which about an hour and a half was about basically presentation, you know, from the deputy minister who, of ICT, who gave a keynote speech, and and the CEO of the deputy governor of the Bank of Namibia. There were a lot of deputies and acting CEOs at this event. If it was a CEO, it was most likely the acting CEO. If it was an ED tech, for example, or a CEO, the only CEO that showed up like in a full capacity without sending someone to represent, represent her on her behalf, was the Bankers Association of Namibia CEO. Now, Linda Epinge Nakale is the acting ED of MICT, Ministry of Information, Communications, or Communication and Technology, is the one that gave a keynote speech. The discussion was somewhat very, can be summed up in a very simple and yet scary way. Your computer is becoming smarter by the day, and there are a lot of people that actually know it better than you that can easily use it against you. That same goes for your computer, your phone, basically every electronic device you have, from handheld to fixed. They all have this technological reach in terms of capabilities. Now, the convenience it's able to give us in terms of communication, I'm able to reach my people at home in terms of talking to them without being accused of being, too much of a kavango and stuff like that. I know. Now, the technology that we have is very complicated. Because of its complexity, a lot of us that use it don't understand how it works. Now, those ones that understand how it works then have figured out, like, they are very good at figuring out, and they are very good at figuring out new ways of how to exploit this technology that we spend our own money on against us. Now, when it comes to fraud and scamming, these are very old concepts. They are not new. Now, the very easy way of looking at this is that nothing is new under the sun. Nothing is new under the sun. Most of us must have heard of the word Ponzi scheme. Now, would you believe me if I told you that Ponzi was a man's name? There was a name who was called, Mr. Ponzi. Now, where the word Ponzi scheme comes from? You wanna guess which country he was from? Italian. Of course it's gonna be Italian. Now, a Ponzi scheme is a form of fraud. It's a form of fraud. Actually, the word Ponzi scheme that is used to describe that method of fraud is the last name of Mr. Ponzi, an Italian fraudster who defrauded investors from Italy all the way to modern day US, and he basically started telling investors something that was very enticing for them to invest in, but then the return on investment kept disappearing along with Mr. Charles Ponzi. I know. These guys trusted. One thing about, Mr. Ponzi was that, he acted the part. He acted the part. This is the same thing that you see with, with scammers these days. When a scammer, there are a lot of different types of scammers. You have romance scammers, for example, and you have your forex scammers, for example. For a forex scammer, when they are having a conversation with you, they are going to give off every bit of vibe, like they know the financial sector in and out, and some of them actually have a very deep knowledge of how the financial or the tech world operates. Some of them know because some of them are actually experts in this field. Take the pig butchering scam, for example. Pig butchering scam sort of like gained momentum. This is where pig butchering scam is where you meet someone online and they tell you to invest in a certain investment initiative. And once you start take for example, they ask you to invest $10,000 and invest $10,000 Namibian dollars. And I mean, you go, you they present you with a platform, of course, and you create an account on this platform. After creating an account on this platform, you start investing. They start with a more like a you know, like demo type of account for a lot of this online investment platforms. They start with you know, with more like a sample, like a demo type of investment that you do using with a call it fake digital money. So that, I mean, that's a way that, that's a way for them to basically show you that, look, there are a lot of scammers out there, but we are legit. Now, and then they push it a little bit further by, you know, by, so, let's say when you decide now to create a real account to start investing with real money, and then you start transferring your money from your bank account into this account that you've created on this platform, what starts to happen is that you start seeing all this increase in your, in the profit that you're making, or more like, basically profit that you're making, out of this investment. Now, of course, to sort of like, see how legitimate this platform is, because a lot of, there are a lot of platforms out there that are very, that are fake. So, what would you do? You'd basically go to the ATM or more like, you know, just try to transfer some of this money, some that you have supposedly made. Take, for example, you have invested 10,000 and in a week or two, you are now at 15,000. That's how much profit you have made. You'd be like, okay, you know, let me see if these things work. And then you transfer, take, for example, $2,000 from the account you have on that platform into your bank account. And then what do you know? Voila, there is a notification from FNB, Standard Bank, Bank Windhoek, that this amount of money have been transferred from your bank account from this platform. At this point, what could convince you that this is a scam? There is not a single person on this planet that you know, that would not have fallen for that. A lot of people fell for the pig butchering scam is because of how legitimate it, looks and how it you know, how they create this very false sense of security for you to basically walk through the front door. Now, that's where the word pig butchering scam now comes in, because the thing is you'll be investing and then you'll and now at this point after taking money from this account or from your account on this platform into your bank account, and you get a notification from the bank that you're banking with, what do you think you're gonna do? Every month you are transferring money in that on that platform's account every month, because well, it works. You have tested it, you have proven it, it works. Except when that amount of money goes, take for example, above 50,000. And you try to transfer a large amount from the, from that account. Take for example, you are now in 50,000 and you try to transfer, you want to buy a donkey Botswana somewhere. You want to transfer 30 something from from the account you have on that platform into your bank account. Yeah, like your legitimate bank account. The one that you got in the queue to go and open. Then all of a sudden they are giving you one excuse after another over why that doesn't happen. And when you keep insisting, the whole account goes, poof, disappears into thin air. And that platform along with it. This time it's been months, if not over a year, that you have been putting money in this platform. And in the beginning, you tested, I mean, you even performed a litmus test of trying to transfer some of the money from this from the account from your account on this platform into your bank account here at home, and you withdraw that money and you went to chop the money. It works, except they call it pig butchering scam, because the scam gives you this false sense of security where they allow you to carry out this small test to see if it works. Except when the money reaches a certain level of, you know, a certain level of accumulation, that account, not your bank account or FNB account or Standard Bank account, no, that one doesn't disappear. The one that you have on that platform with that massive amount of money that you have transferred in there everything disappears into thin air. Pig butchering scammers went bananas at the beginning, at the early days of COVID-19 lockdowns. And most of them are said to have originated out of Asia. Now, it's assumed, because it's kind of difficult to verify some of this information, because it is assumed, because now you can watch a bunch of documentaries on that. Two that I watched, I think it was about earlier this year, was one was by Al Jazeera. I saw three by Al Jazeera, BBC, and was that Sky News or CNN, one of the two. A lot of casinos had to shut down. Basically, that was what the COVID-19 lockdowns were about. And then that led to a lot of casino owners go like, well, we are not making money, and since everyone is at home and everyone is on their cell phone or their laptop or their tablet, that means let's figure out an easier way of making money. After all, we have the computers and processing power right here in the casino. And then scammers went to work. And they stole millions, if not billions. Depending on the currency that you want to look at it, of course. So, that's one of the reasons, basically, that shows that, cybersecurity awareness is a global concern. And it's also a local concern. Let's call it a regional concern. Now, before I get to some of the things that were basically pointed out in that summit, let's listen to an audio first. Then let's just get the audio out of the way, and then I can come to why this is a concern. Now, this was like I pointed out, this was a 5 hours event. This was a 5 hours event. But I was only able to take a snippet from that 5 hours of the audio that were, that's where the audio that we are going to be listening from. That's where it came from. And the voice you are going to be listening to is the voice of one, Dantagos Jimmy, who is the CEO of Bankers Association of Namibia. Newly appointed. Congratulations, madam. Now, here's the thing. She was not the keynote speaker. The keynote speaker was the acting ED of the MICT. Now, I picked this part because she really summarizes, in a very short period of time, she touches on a lot of aspects concerning the subject of cybersecurity awareness, including, how it's fast spreading. And first of all, we can't just get rid of it by throwing away all our electronic devices. With technological advancement everything has its own pros and cons, of course. We have technological advancement that's bringing us a lot of convenience in terms of e-commerce, financial transactions and communication, you name it. But with that also comes the disadvantage of you and I sitting in Namibia being reached by someone, losing our money from someone who's sitting somewhere in Singapore. Ouch. Now, before you start saying, but where are the police in all this? Do you have any idea the type of jurisdiction issues you'll have to, the jurisdiction hoops you'll have to jump through? Now, just how big is this problem, and why should you be aware of cyber? Why should you be aware of cybersecurity? Here's the thing: cybersecurity awareness is a genuine concern. We're gonna go to the audio, and when we come back, I'll take you through what Interpol, they call it international police, what they were busy doing from June to August on the continent of Africa, cybersecurity-wise, especially when it comes to trying to tracking down scammers, and what they found. Stay tuned on the other side of the audio. Home Run with Helmut in the absence of Dwight on Eagle FM. And did I say welcome wherever you're tuned in from? If you're tuned in from outside the holding cell, welcome inside or outside. As long as you're not in a coma or emergency room, but if you're in an emergency room or you're in a coma, get well soon. And thank you for tuning in. No judging. We're just going to congratulate you and say your love for Eagle FM. Much respect. Much respect. Oh, by the way, did I point out that on Saturday I was called by a bundle of joy? Like literally here on air. Like a bundle of, someone's a bundle of joy called. But let's not do that, guys. Please. I know. Let's allow them to grow up enough to buy their own phone. And then they can start calling and start, you know, doing all that. As it, plus we both know they speak a language that's still unknown to science. Gugu gaga. We still have no idea what that means. Those guys can be mean. They could be insulting their parents and no one would have a clue. But, well, they're kids. They're innocent. Which is why they're brutally honest. Everyone will tell you, oh my God, I think you have gained weight. I mean, if you just go to the gym, it could help. Kids are so mean, they'll just look at you and go, you look fat. And they're doing all that with a straight face. I think that's why we like to refer to them as innocent, because they can say some of the most offensive things with a straight face. In other words, we know it's offensive. They don't know that. When they grow up and we start brainwashing them, that's when they start saying things like, you're not a thief. No, you're just a wealth repossessor. Oh dear. But back to the audio.
Our financial sector is facing increasing threats from fraud, cybersecurity, identity theft, data breaches, and sophisticated social engineering schemes. These are not only theoretical risks, they affect ordinary Namibians every day. Pensioners, students, entrepreneurs, civil servants, farmers, public institutions. Fraudsters adapt very quickly. Technology is evolving rapidly, and the financial sector must remain two steps ahead and not one step behind. This is why we convene today, to learn from local and international experts and to learn from each other, to strengthen collaboration, to unify efforts across banks, regulators, law enforcement, telecommunications, fintech, and the public sector, and above all, to protect the trust that Namibians place in the financial system. Security is not competitive. It's not a competitive advantage. It's a national obligation. Namibia's digital payment system, mobile money, online banking, card payments, and digital government services is expanding very rapidly. With this growth comes risk, increasing phishing and attacks targeting consumers, synthetic identity and data-driven fraud, insider threats, cross-border cybercrime networks, AI-powered manipulation and social engineering, vulnerability in unprotected devices and networks. But we must now also recognize the emerging opportunities. Artificial intelligence, data analytics, biometrics, behavioral monitoring, and shared fraud databases provide unprecedented tools to detect, prevent, and disrupt fraudulent activity. The challenge before us today is very clear. We must embrace innovation while safeguarding the public. Combating fraud is not the responsibility of banks alone. It requires regulators who set strong frameworks and clear expectations, law enforcement agencies that respond rapidly and decisively, technology partners who innovate responsibly, consumers who stay informed and vigilant, banks that uphold strong protocols, controls, transparent communication, and ethical conduct, industry bodies like BAN that coordinate efforts and foster mutual trust. If any link in this chain is weak, the entire system is vulnerable.
It's a system. And she's right. It's a system that involves the financial sector, aka the FI. You have your financial institutions. You have your tech institutions that must work on making sure that their technology is up to standard in terms of technological advancement. Because whether you like it or not, in the world of technology, yesterday's technology looks like yesterday's technology looks at 10 years behind. And technology is advancing by the minute. Take, for example, the phone that came out in 2020. There are some updates that may not be running. And you have a lot of things to basically keep up with. So you have your financial institutions must play their part. You have the technological guys must play their part. You have your lawmakers must play their part. And you know who else must play their part? We don't often talk about the consumer.
With either a non-alcoholic Heineken, Savannah, Vintook Original, or Vintook Lemon. Let's cheers to connecting, to moments shared and good vibes, anytime, anywhere. Grab one of our great tasting non-alcoholic beers or ciders. Easy to connect, easy to enjoy. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Sometimes you have to raise a Vindhuk beer and say cheers to you, the real ones. You know, the ones who save you a spot for the game when the bar is crowded. The ones who offer to drive for the night to keep everyone safe. The ones who bring you a cold Vindhuk beer without being asked. When they're there for you in ways you never knew you needed, they aren't just friends. They're the real ones. So cheers to them. Vindhuk, 100% real beer for real people. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Goeie nuus, Simba het nou nog beter geword. Ons het splinternuwe funksies bygevoeg om jou ervaring vinniger, beter en kragtiger te maak as ooit tevore. As jy gereed om die volle potensiaal van Simba te geniet, kry alle eksklusiewe funksies vir slegs $36 per maand of spaar selfs meer met ons spesiale intekenplanne. 5% afslag vir 'n 3 maande intekening, 10% afslag vir 'n 6 maande intekening en 25% afslag vir 'n 12 maande intekening. Kies die beste plan vir jou werk en geniet al die voordele wat Imba bied teen 'n onverbeterlike prys. Imba, waar die wêreld saamkom, laai dit af en teken vandag aan.
Welcome back from that extended break of a combination of English and Afrikaans. So, Homeran, Helmed, Dwight, blah, blah, blah. So, this is a structure that's formed by different, different moving parts, each of which must play its significant part, or more like it's a respective part. That's the word I was looking for. It's a respective part. The financial institution must make sure they have, they have a system in place to basically protect their consumers. And then consumers must make sure they don't become yes machines by clicking at pretty much every link that tells them you have won $1 million even though you didn't play anything. And you have the tech guys must make sure that the technology being given or more like being used by the, by their consumers, aka the financial guys, is also up to standard in terms of fighting cyber security concerns. Now, then at this point, it's very easy for you to ask yourself, why are we having this conversation? Well, easy. Technological advancement is happening, whether we like it or not. And one of those areas that's being impacted by this, or in both positive and negative way by this technological advancement, is the e-commerce, aka how we conduct businesses. It's easy for me to buy something on Amazon. All I just have to do is go on their website and then put in my credit card information, and then it's up for shipping in, like a chameleon years. And now, what you are looking at there is that the ease of doing business in terms of business transaction has never been easier thanks to the technology we have available, which was not available a couple of decades ago. And now that means it's easy for me to buy something from someone who is in a different region or it's very, you know, a different country. Now, that also means that convenience comes with, that also means it's very easy for people to pretend to be selling something when they are actually not selling something. Now, so how often have we had people buying something that looked very nice on paper or more like on their screen when they were looking at it through the website? And then when the product arrived, they realized that the couch they bought, they thought it's gonna fit in my living room type of couch, and then a couch that fits in their pocket showed up after paying a lot of money, and then realized that the website they bought the couch through, or more like they browsed through to see this couch, and then ended up, which led them to end up buying it, doesn't even exist anymore. So the cyber security problem impacts everyone alike. Old, young, student, pensioner, employee. And we have a very good precedent of this. Now, this is not to be confused with, is it with call scammers? I think you can also throw them in there. But, when we think about a cybersecurity issue, cybersecurity awareness, it's more often in the direction of Hunters International and Telecom Namibia fiasco last year type of thing. I'm calling it that because, well, let's be generous with the English language and call it an incident. Yeah, let's call it an incident. There was this very national tit for tat between financial institutions and a lot of consumers with regards to consumers losing money from their bank accounts. Consumers were pointing fingers at financial institutions. Financial institutions were pointing fingers at the consumers. But one thing that I quickly learned from that is that financial institutions, they have security measures in place. Are you kidding me? Financial institutions have been criticized for having trust issues because, I mean, we give them, there's this meme online that goes something like, I don't understand banks. We trust them with our money. I'm putting my money in your bank, but you don't even trust me with your pen because even the pens that you find in their offices are on a leash tied to a desk. That's how much trust issue. That's how serious they take security. Oh, jeez, I didn't think of it that way. But anyway, and then of course they have their physical infrastructure type of security, like your CCTV, for example, so that thieves that don't use their brain, those ones that still want to go brute forcing their way through everything, can be deterred. And then you have your alarms and everything. But that's just for thieves that don't want to use their brains. Thieves that have more brain power compared to, physical power, they like to sit at the, behind their desk and basically do everything at the comfort of their living room. And it turns out some of them don't use the living room. Some of them use warehouses. They are not using laptops. They're using servers. That's where Interpol comes in. They called it Operation Serengeti. Now, yesterday's discussion by the Bankers Association of Namibia and Bank of Namibia, maybe to sort of like look at, okay, just how big is this cybersecurity problem? So, you know, cybersecurity issue in terms of fraud and scamming and all this. How, just how big is this problem on the African continent? Because I was now at this point, I'm being actually very naive. I'm thinking of it in a way of, you know what? I don't think it's that big, because we talk about rural electrification and we talk about, you know, internet connectivity. You are still looking at, we have, I mean, just this year it was revealed to us that we have, the planet's slowest, amongst the planet's slowest internet connection. Like, I mean, Africa is not that connected when it comes to technology. It can't be that bad. I could not have been more wrong, because it is that bad. Two countries came up a lot, Angola and Zambia, both of which are our neighbors. What was going on now? What was going on in this guy? What did these two countries mainly? They're about 18 countries that participated, you know, that basically coordinated in between June and August, that coordinated with Interpol to, you know, the cybersecurity division, because they have different divisions, that coordinated with Interpol and then looked at, and then they looked at the African continent. They were just running, that, Operation Serengeti, in reference, I'm assuming, to the Serengeti National Park in Tanzania. Oh, by the way, the Serengeti, that's Mara Mara in Kenya. Oh, Mara Mara in Kenya has its own, basically, you know, you have your, there's an interesting thing going on at, Mara Mara, and then you have your, what's this community? The Maasai. There's this other multinational corporation guy that came to Kenya, and then they acquired all the building permits, and then they built a hotel. It's either near or directly at the crossing point of the great migration of herds of animals. They just set it up there. And now those animals, you know, they basically interrupted the great migration. And everyone is blaming that, is it Mary or something hotel, not Marigold, I checked. Mary or something is something type of, a chain of hotels. And everyone is pointing at them for building that hotel. They, I'm like, look, Africans, we really like to beat around the bush here. It's very easy to blame the owners of this hotel, but let's take a rewind back. Who gave them a permission to build this hotel of all places here? Your politicians did. These people were given construction permits for this portion of land by someone in this country. Find out who that is. Chances are very high you will find out that they were given shut-up money that which they have converted into a Land Cruiser. They won't even, Orange Rover, they won't even comment on these things. Why? It's because they were given shut-up money. Other people call it brown envelopes. Other people call it bribe, blah, blah, blah. No, I call it shut-up money. Because now a lot of Kenyans, especially citizens, are pissed off at an establishment that is not even African over why they have built their hotel there. I'm like, let's blame the owner of that hotel. True, let's blame them. But I'm pretty sure this call is coming from home. Let's look at the house first, and then we can go out. Let's start from inside the house. Someone sold them that land. Someone gave them building permits, knowing very well that the great migration of heads of a lot of different animals, they cross, is it the Mara River every single year. Every African with a brain cell, with a single brain cell, knows that. But no, they were still given building permits. And now this is why I just look at Africans and go like, we are very good at pointing fingers, but we are not very good at self-assessment as to what is causing this. That is them. Now, let's come back to Zambia and Angola, and let's come back to cybersecurity. From June to August. And then I can come back to why, why that whole list of all these players that must be aware, play their role in cybersecurity awareness. Financial institutions have to play theirs. You and I, that are consumers of the services provided by the financial institutions, also have to play our part. Because otherwise then we're just going to keep pointing fingers at each other. You know, one of my favorite stories was, when it comes to scamming, is one of, was that in 2023, our current Minister of Defense. He was very honest. I make fun of the homie like every time. When he was interviewed, okay, how did you fall for this? When he was swindled of, I think it was about $200,000 by one Zambezian gentleman. Speaking to, when he was interviewed, and he was asked, how did you, and I'm paraphrasing, how did this happen? His response was like, well, he sounded very professional. Much respect. Commercial break.
Heineken's iconic balanced taste. That gives you that refreshing first, only made possible by Heineken's 5-star credentials. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Welcome back. Now, here's the thing. Oh yeah, no. Let's start with African authorities. Now, this was in August. African authorities, that you can find that on the Interpol website. African authorities dismantle massive cybercrime and fraud network and recovers millions. And then there's a very nice picture of of some of the people that were arrested. That's a lot of Asians. Yeah. Turns out Asia is a place that is basically to be fair. Silicon Valley in the Western world is dominated by Asians, especially at the top. So when it comes to this whole computer things, it seems like Asians know their thing when it comes to this. They know their thing. No wonder every scamming circle that seems to be rounded up, it's mostly dominated by Asians too. All right. Now, according to that 22 August 2025 article by Interpol, in a sweeping Interpol coordinated operation, authorities across Africa have arrested 1,209 cyber criminals, targeting nearly 88,000 victims. When the 1,209 cyber criminals were arrested, they looked at their series of activities that they were busy with at the moment and realized that these guys had 88,000 targets that they were working on. And as you can imagine, they were scattered all across the planet. You want to bet some of them are Namibians? Now, in a crackdown, according to the article, Interpol recovered 97.4 million US dollars that they recovered. And I did a little bit of, a little bit of math. No, I didn't do a little bit of math. Google did for me, on my behalf, a little bit of math. And then, by today's exchange rate, that's about 1.7 billion Namibian dollars that was recovered. Just take the scammers that were arrested here. These guys were arrested with not one, but multiple cars, multiple phones, multiple laptops. These guys had multiple everything, including multiple money. You and I are broke. These guys have multiple everything. And in the group, a lot of them We're Asians. See? When it comes to this whole tech world, Asians know their thing. So, the crackdown recovered $97.4 million, which is about $1.7 billion, and dismantled 11,432 malicious infrastructure. We'll get to that malicious infrastructure in a few. That's where Angola and Zambia comes in, especially Angola. And underscoring a global reach of cybercrime and urgent need for cross-border cooperation. So now, 88,000 victims. And now, this was what was called Operation Serengeti 2.0. And it ran from June to August. So you have June, July, August. You're looking at a span of 3 months. 3 months. That's how much. In a three-month operation, they arrested 1,209. Now, Operation Serengeti running from June to August 2005, that would be weird, 2025 brought together investigators across 18 African countries and the United Kingdom to tackle high impact cyber crimes. Not I'm calling you from MTC, we'll send them. No, not that guy. These are your Hunters International guys. That's basically what you're looking at. These guys use a lot of methods, including ransomware. This is where they basically, send you a very nice picture of, they basically first go through your social media. They realize that you are single and searching. And then they send you a link of a very, if you're a guy, and they have determined that well, you're straight, because it's very easy to tell a lot about you on social media, even from someone who is not tech savvy like yours truly here. Now imagine what someone who is tech savvy can get. And more often, the pictures that we upload have something known as metadata, aka a bunch of information contained in that picture or that video about what device you use, where this picture was taken and when, and the occasion, because of thanks to our hashtag type of nonsense. So they know you're single after doing a background check on you based on the information you have available online. And a lot of us have a lot of information available online. After gathering all this information, they find out that you are single and searching. May I, a point of correction, single and desperately searching. And then they start sending you very nice friend requests of smoking hot ladies, and you are like, okay, maybe my prayers have been answered. Please go with your prayers being answered. Then you start clicking on everything. Now you become a yes machine because you are desperate. You start clicking on everything, and then you click on a link that takes you somewhere, and then you start clicking yes on that website, and then you realize that your computer is now locked. Your boss is calling you. And he's telling you need to submit files that, you have an emergency thing at work. You need to submit files, and you only have an hour because, there's a lot of money at stake, which means your job is at stake. And your boss is like, I need these files ASAP, and that you only have those files in that computer. Uh-oh. Now what do you do? And these guys are telling you, the guys that now, not your boss, the guys that have, taken over your computer. They are sitting somewhere in Angola or Zambia. I'm going to throw you guys under the bus. And I'll explain in a few. Now, what happens is they just lock your computer remotely. How does that happen? That's where applications like AnyDesk now comes in. Because, we use it here. Take, for example, if I need a file here in the studio and I don't have that file, or maybe I have it in a different computer in a different office, and I don't want to just abandon the studio and leave radio silence to go and get it. I can just send a message to the production guys, and the production guys, oh, there were sometimes she works in the north. Sometimes she's on a holiday in the north, and I'll call her, she'll be like, hey, can you please just do this and this one? And the next thing, well, what she does is using her phone from the north, she'll be controlling my computer here in studio to transfer files from one computer in a different part of the studio to the part of the studio where I'm sitting so I can access it. She's doing all that on her phone. Which is why I'm not giving that lady my phone. Ah, she's my wife anyway. Now, here's the thing. Applications like AnyDesk have a lot of productive and positive contribution, and they can make your life very easy if you work in the space where you are in constant transferring of file from one device to another. They come in very handy. But, well, guess what? Scammers also use them. They will call you, and they will tell you to download AnyDesk on your phone, and when you download it, well, guess what? And when you start running that thing, everything that you see on your phone, that guy can also see it. That means they can basically control it. From, I don't know, Hong Kong, Luanda, New York, wherever they're sitting, they'll be controlling your phone or your desktop. That means they can, when they ask you, can you please log in your FNB account? When you are typing your password in, they can also see that. You see, that's, oh boy. Now, if you are feeling paranoid right now, that's good. That's what you need. So, here's the interesting thing about Africa. Just one thing that more often ruins my day every time I want to talk about things, everything African. You want to know who funded this operation? Not us. Operation Partners. Operation Serengeti was held under the umbrella of African Joint Operation Against Cybercrime, funded by the United Kingdom Foreign Commonwealth and Development Office. We are Commonwealth countries. I think that's one of those perks of being a Commonwealth member. But seriously, guys, how long are we going to be doing this? And anyway, not here to judge. Who am I kidding? I'm here to judge. Operating Partner, Cybercrime Atlas was one of the, them, and then you have a bunch of, you basically have a bunch of internet security guys. Kaspersky is in there. Now, that I did not expect to see, because last time I checked, Kaspersky was a Russian security company. And participating countries was Angola, Benin, Cameroon, Chad, Cote d'Ivoire, DRC. Yeah, DRC was there, Ghana, Kenya, Mauritius, Nigeria, Rwanda, Senegal, South Africa, Seychelles, Tanzania, UK, and Zambia and Zimbabwe. So that's why I now just decided to zone on two of our nearest neighbors, and that is Angola and Zambia. They found something interesting in these two countries, especially Angola. In Angola, for example, the authorities in Angola busted 25 cryptocurrency mining centers. Not 25 computers, 25 cryptocurrency mining centers. Now, if you just go on the Interpol website and then just look up African authorities dismantle massive cybercrime and more like Operation Serengeti 2.0. And then you see these guys are not doing this with laptops anymore. No, they are way past that. They are doing it with warehouses. Like you have a warehouse of, I don't know, a bunch of fans. Now, when you see a bunch of fans, that means they are cooling a lot of things. Whatever it is they are cooling is running at a very high speed. And also, one major dead giveaway is that something this size is going to consume a lot of power. It will just tip off the, whoever is watching the power grid. But 25 cryptocurrency mining centers. Now, one of the biggest scam being used is by asking people to invest in certain cryptocurrency investment, investment platforms. Here's the thing. There are legitimate cryptocurrency investment platforms out there. It's like online dating. It's not like there are no people online that are looking for genuine love. They are. The problem is the majority of them are scammers. So that means you stand a better chance of you running into a scammer than you running into Prince Charming or Princess Charming, whichever you are looking for. What I find fascinating is that we are all scared to talk to the person next to us. Oh, believe me, I'm a guy, I can tell you, from high school. It's not that easy. But for some reason, we're just good, just to meet someone online, and then things will be okie-dokie. It worked for some, but a lot of people ended up in tears. So, the operation, we're still on Operation Serengeti. The operation was strengthened by private sector collaboration with partners providing intelligence. So this was, this is just a bunch of stuff that I read, partners that participated, including security companies, basically, because you need those guys. Now, that means if we are going to run, cybersecurity measures, we are going to need security firms, internet security firms, like is it your McAfee and your Bitdefender, your Kaspersky. You will need those guys. You will need people with that type of expertise. Because all Helmut knows how to use a laptop for is login Netflix and watch movies. It turns out that laptop can do more than movie streaming. So, the authorities in Angola, operation indicates that, from crypto mining to inheritance schemes, I think for those of you that are regular Mind the Gap listeners, I walked you through my very wonderful, Princess Charming that I met online, that I told that, I'm from Usakos because I was, I was in the corner. Look, sometimes I'm bored at home and I have nothing to do. So when I run into a scammer, I just take boredom out of it. I start going, oh, really? Yes. I mean, this is nice. So if I send you money, you are going to use the money that I'm going to send you to access your dead father's millions of dollars, and you will come to Namibia and will be rich and live happily ever after? Is that what you're telling me? Unbelievable. Oh, yeah, I am Namibian. Where are you from? I'm like, well, Usakos. What does Usakos mean? Well, easy. Well, it's a combination of two words. USA. You have a course is Afrikaans for food. USA is the name comes from the fact that a lot of American food brands are found in the area, like McDonald's, KFC, and all that. It's actually not American. It's either European or South American. They basically stole everything. Yeah, so that's where you have your inheritance schemes. Authorities in Angola dismantled 25 cryptocurrency mining centers where 60 Chinese nationals were allegedly validating blockchain transactions to generate cryptocurrency. The crackdown identified 45 illicit power stations which were confiscated along with mining and IT equipment. Mining and IT equipment worth more than $37 million. At this point, it's organized crime. Now earmarked by the government to support power distribution to vulnerable areas. Seriously, government, learn to buy your stuff. So, then that brings us to Zambia. Zambian authorities dismantled a large-scale online investment fraud scheme. In Angola, it was mostly mining and inheritance schemes. But in Zambia, it was mostly, large-scale online investment fraud. Like, invest in this, and then in 2 months, either 50%, 100%, 150%, return on investment guarantee type of, you know, type of things. They identified 65,000 victims who lost an estimated $300 million. The scammers lured victims into investing into cryptocurrency through extensive advertising campaigns promising high yield returns. Extensive keyword. Let's pay attention to extensive advertising campaigns. Like every time you click on something, this is actually why why I'm very intentional when it comes to the browsers that I use. Because I like to use browsers that have ad blockers. I'll just turn the ad blocking feature on and then I can just live my life. Because some of the browsers, once you download that thing, is just ad after ad after ad after ad. And more often, the ads that you run into are about what? Invest in this 50%, 100%, 150% return on investment guaranteed in 2 months. Huh? And because it's very enticing, a lot of people have fallen for that and have lost their hard-earned money in the pursuit of multiplying it to somewhat unheard of amounts in a limited period time. That's why they say, when it comes to internet things, if it's too good to be true, that's because it is. So, in Zambia, it's about invest in this and then you get this amount of money, 100% profit guarantee. If you invest $10,000 this month, by the end of this month, just by the end, we're not even going to wait for December. By 31 November, if you just invest today, by 31 November, this 10,000 of yours, you're going to have 50,000. Yeah, I'm telling you. Like, this works. And then they will show you a bunch of graphs now on their screen. That's my favorite part. So every time that I get a friend request on social media from anyone, the moment I see Forex Trader, and more often, you should really learn to tell when the difference between a fake account and legitimate ones. Look at it this way. This is why I like to say, modern day scammers are not even trying hard, because I get friend requests a lot. I use Facebook a lot. That's because, well, I'm from a time where information was more important than taking off your clothes and then checking what your mama gave you on Instagram. So, I like information, and more often a lot of this information I acquire them through Facebook. And the thing is, this is where now I get a lot of friend requests from very, 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 very beautifully looking women. Now, like every straight guy, I like women. So I just, okay, let's look up this profile now. This woman is so heavenly beautiful. But they only have, my problem is they only have one picture on their face, on their Facebook page. Really? One thing I know is that, if someone is that smoking hot, believe me, they are going to have a library and an archive of pictures and videos of pretty much every event they have ever attended. And this, for some reason, they only have two friends. Really? And the account was just created this morning. So, at your age, you have never used social media till today. Not falling for that. I mean, don't get me wrong, you're cute, but you could be AI generated. Like this, I mean, I generate AI generated pictures all the time. All you just have to do is type in the right prompt and voila. Plus, guys. If Jennifer does not want to give you a chance, what makes you think Rihanna will give you a chance? Like, Look, I know, guys, dreams are for free, but come on. There's a big difference between dreams and fantasy. More often, we are confusing fantasy for dreams. So, let's dive a little deeper into Zambia and why. Now, every time that we talk about this, I like to talk about more, the discussion of online safety more often, pointing fingers to consumers mostly. Because it's very easy. If the fault is on the side of the bank, it's more like the security company or the tech guys, those guys are very easy to hold accountable. No, I mean, it's very easy. But if the flaw is on your end and you got swindled by someone who is in Hong Kong, the financial institution will tell you, the police will tell you, well, we are trying our best. Bottom line is, looking at the manpower and financial power that went into Operation Serengeti 2.0, these crimes are very difficult to investigate, let alone execute in terms of investigation, let alone executing arrests, because you are talking about a lot of jurisdiction pain in the eye. So, 30 million went missing. That was Angola. That was Angola. Here's the thing though. 65,000 victims. Zambia. 65,000 victims. That's just in one country. And this guy said a warehouse in Angola. And the scammers lured victims into investing into cryptocurrency through extensive advertising campaign, promising high yield returns. And victims were then instructed to download multiple apps to participate. And this is your different forex trading applications now. You're told, just download this and then open an account and then transfer some money from your bank, from your bank account in this platform. And then you start predicting which direction the market will go. And then there are those people, when it comes to this forex trading thing, one thing I've come to learn is that there are those that like to do forex trading themselves. And there are those that claim to know the ups, the in and outs of the market, or more like the forex trading. International, or more like trading currencies. And then they offer these trading services. Now, what happens is, if I'm a trader, I'll just create my account on my computer and then start trading myself. But, if I claim to know the market, I will tell you that I'll just run around trying to, playing forex trading disciple by telling people, just give me your money. Because I'm an expert at this trading thing. Just give me your money and then I'll trade that money. And then, if you give me $10,000, I will give you, just give me 2 months and I'll multiply that like 3 times. Yeah, make it, Jesus and 2 loaves of bread and 1 fish type of, miracle. And now, after I multiply it 2 times, you are going to give me, just 15% commission. I'm not asking for too much. 15%. And then the rest will be yours. And a lot of people have lost their money that way. That's because a lot of us don't really want to wake up, get out of the house, and basically take an X and then just do something with our hands. For the most part, we want the easy way out. You know what's my favorite part? Most people that fall for this are people with money. If you are broke, what are you going to trade with if you are broke? People with money. They are the ones that are saying, oh, so I can put my money in here. Well, that's nice. That's exactly what I'm going to do now. Also, the Zambian authorities also identified scam center and in joint operation with the immigration department, a department in Lusaka, disrupted a suspected human trafficking network. they confiscated 372 forged passports from several countries. Now, if you look at the picture of, if you look at the picture, there are a bunch of passports, I swear, that look like Namibian passports. Now, you have to understand, these are forged from different countries. They are counterfeit. Don't blame the, before you start pointing all the fingers to the Ministry of Home Affairs. They are forged. Everyone can counterfeit something if they know the technical know-how, or more like they have the hardware to do it. Despite being one of the oldest running internet fraud, I think I'm gonna need a break on this one. On the other side, we're gonna talk about inheritance scams. Turns out it's still working. That whole thing of, my father died, but this country, he was a very influential politician. Now all he just have to do is send me just like a small 10K, and then I'll use that 10K and then get out of this country, make I go to Switzerland, and then have access to my father's bank account that he left me. May his soul rest in peace. And then after I get this money, I go come to Namibia. You and I no go see poverty ever again. It turns out there are people that are still falling for that. That's what they found in Zambia in 3 months, 2025. Well, I was going to take a regular break, but a commercial break caught me off guard. So Home Run with Helmed in the absence of Dwight on Eagle FM. Stay tuned.
Sometimes you have to raise a Vinduk beer and say cheers to you, the real ones. You know, the ones who save you a spot for the game when the bar is crowded. The ones who offer to drive for the night to keep everyone safe. The ones who bring you a cold Vinduk beer without being asked. When they're there for you in ways you never knew you needed, they aren't just friends. They're the real ones. So cheers to them. Vinduk, 100% real beer for real people. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite opoye ekukurile oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuala onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendi fenawa nokumona oijamo ili nawa ninge pata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM onore tatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile kumberewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafilane Eagle FM the eye.
And welcome back. So, inheritance scams. But before we get to inheritance scams, let's take a live read. The 2026 Vilvicha University applications are now open. New programs, Faculty of Health Science, Master of Public Health Level 9, Mode of Delivery, Distance, Areas of Specialization, Maternal Child Health, Public Health Nutrition, Mental Health and Well-being, Food Safety Management Systems, Sustainable Solid Waste Management, Innovative Approaches in Pharmaceutical Public Health, Drug Regulations, Child Protection and Adolescent Health, Violence Prevention and Intervention. Application fee is 230 Namibian dollars. Application deadline is 30 November 2025. For more information, please call 061-225-463 or 061-225-462. Vilvicha University, where everyone is an achiever. That's a lot to cover in 13 minutes, but despite being one of the oldest running internet fraud, inheritance scam continues to generate significant funds for criminal organizations. Because don't be fooled, they are organizations. Take, well, again, let's keep coming back to Hunters International. This is a group of cyber criminals. Translation, this is a group of computer experts, some like computer savvy people. Most of them now most likely don't have jobs. Now for this, I blame AI. Because in the tech world, a lot of people are losing their jobs because they are being rendered redundant by the pieces of software they help build. Artificial intelligence is now turning around and then replacing its maker, literally. So you have a lot of IT experts that are being rendered jobless, and these are the brightest of minds that we have that are being left jobless after AI now showed up and it started going. You see, well. Everything that I was paying you to do, I can now do it with a piece of software. So, here is your separation package. Have a good day. Once you fire a lot of these people, what do you think they're gonna do? Take for example, if you turned around and started firing a lot of people from your defense force. After years of service, the only thing they know is defense things, like pulling the trigger and setting up landmines, for example. May I help you spell the word terrorism? That's what you're going to be looking at. Because if you live in a country where people don't know anything but how to fire a gun, and the only job they have been, enabled them to basically feed their family is pulling the trigger. What's gonna happen is when they lose that job, they'll start going. That's how. What's this word? That's how. That's how mercenaries are born. Guns for hire. They are not obedient to any, they are not loyal. They are not loyal to any flag. They are just loyal to a dollar. Give them enough money to go and cause chaos anyway, they'll just go and cause that chaos. You don't have to explain to them why they don't have to go and cause that chaos. Just give them money. Where do you find this type of people? You are watching too much sci-fi. I do watch a lot of sci-fi. But if you want, you can look up something called Operation Timber Sycamore. That's the US in Syria, by the way. They just found a bunch of guys that were mostly trigger happy and also opportunity hungry, and then they just gave them a lot of money and guns to go and cause chaos in Syria. And they did. That's public knowledge, by the way. You don't have to scratch your head. It's right there. And I really like how people like to say, America is doing this. I mean, these guys are evil. But here's the thing. Anyone that have read a history book knows that that's what empires do. If you want to be an empire and you want to last longer in that imperial position like the US have for the past 200 years, you will have to be ruthless. It takes us back to Machiavelli, the prince, the prince now, or basically every leader have to choose between being loved by his people and being feared by his people. And then Machiavelli goes on to point out that, since no one can actually pull off both being loved and being feared, it's more recommended to be feared. If you are a power-hungry moron, I don't recommend reading The Prince, because that's more like a handbook for every dictator. But look, Machiavelli is actually a genius type of dictator, because he's not saying go cutthroat from day one. He's telling you to go cutthroat, but also be responsible, because too much violence is going to lead to a revolt. So you want to maintain a sweet spot between a little bit of love and a little bit of exalio-stick, just to keep them in check. I think when I rise to power, I'll make an excellent dictator. thanks to Eagle FM for this wonderful opportunity. Now, prior to the operation, investigators participated in a series of hand-on workshops covering open source intelligence tools and techniques, cryptocurrency investigations, ransomware analysis. They focused on training, strengthening their skills and expertise, directly contributing to the effectiveness of investigations and operation success. So it brings us back to what? Skills. Miss Danda Ghos Jimmy, pardon me if I butchered that first name. Believe me, I spent like an hour trying to pronounce that. And one thing I found fascinating, I think that speaks some, something that's worth pointing out. Albeit it was not, it's easy to dismiss. That's what I was looking. It's easy to dismiss that this is not important. But there's something that Denver Kisting asked the crowd to do. This discussion that took place yesterday, hosted by Ben and Bone. I know. This event, like all other events hosted on the African continent, was themed. The theme was strengthening trust and resilience in Namibia's financial system. And then Denver Kisting asked the crowd, turn around and say the theme of this event. And the theme is strengthening trust and resilience in Namibia's financial system. But say that to your neighbor in your native language. You can't pay me money to translate that in Thimbukushu. Like, if you came here with a million, I'm broke now, right? And very poor. If you came here with $1 billion and told me to translate that in Thimbukushu, chances are very high you are going to go back with that money wherever you came from. I'm most likely going to call my grandma to take it personally, traditionally. But if I ruin my luck with the ladies, because everyone is now going to go, yeah, from Kavang, yeah, I mean, see. But the thing is, we are dealing with something we can't translate in our own native languages. And now we have to train people, consumers of our services, of the tech services, of the financial services, of the e-commerce services. We have to train them to understand this language. By the way, that was one phrase, basically one sentence. It was a theme. And everyone went, we have no idea. It's very easy to say, what's this about? Well, it's about strengthening security in the financial sector. Now, what is that in your language? That's a very important question. Thank you for asking that question. Once you hear those three things from a politician, that's a very important question. Thank you for asking this question. Just tell him to stop talking, because whatever is going to come out of that, of his mouth or her mouth after that, now lie. So, Miss Dandakos Jimmy pointed out something, basically summarized the significance of this, cybersecurity awareness. One thing to know is that it's not a one party only. There are a lot of parties involved call it service exchange, money service exchange involved in the cybersecurity awareness discussion. We use financial services. The financial institutions have the obligation to ensure that whatever service that they are offering us is as secure as possible. And we also have to ensure that we are not, we have to ensure that we are not the flaw in the security system. Because the bank can't control you on which link you are clicking yes. I mean, chances are very high they can do that, but they would be invading your privacy. That's against the chapter, you know, chapter 3 of the Namibian Constitution, remember? So a consumer has their role to play. Lawmakers in parliament have their role to play. Speaking of lawmakers in parliament have their roles to play, well, they have been a little terrible at that. A little, who am I kidding? Really terrible at that, especially when it comes to technology. During our AI, you know, our AI readiness assessment report this year, Dr. Simeon Hamukoshi of NCRST noted that the report's finding highlights notable progress in Namibia's readiness to adopt and govern AI. But, of course, there is a however. However, he cautioned, and I've used this before, and I'm going to sing it until someone in parliament passes that cybersecurity bill into a law. However, he cautioned that the challenges persist, such as the absence of formal AI regulatory framework, the need to finalize the data protection bill, limited electricity access in rural areas, and gaps in AI-related skills, shortage of AI training, and data in indigenous Wati languages. Hence, the translating of that theme of yesterday's cybersecurity awareness discussion into native languages. Whoever knows Denver Kisting, if you meet him, just punch him in the face for me and say, thank you for pointing that out. No. Okay, he's gonna need his front teeth for hosting events and making genius points like that, but that's actually very true. Indigenous languages and cybersecurity discussion, or more like financial discussion, we are terrible at that. But before I sign off,
Heineken's iconic balanced taste. That gives you that refreshing first, only made possible by Heineken's 5-star credentials. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Tune in to The Home Run.
Heineken's iconic balanced taste. That gives you that refreshing first, only made possible by Heineken's 5-star credentials. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud. So
not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. Mm. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past. Mm. And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. And to wrap it up, make I remind you, this is that time of the year when the world is live with a lot of activities. And guess who else gets busy? The computer guys. They also get busy during this time, going hunting for Christmas budgets. Albeit the ACC is busy ruining one Christmas budget after another. Anti-Corruption Commission. We are here for you. Yeah, either going to ruin your Christmas by arresting your Christmas groove breadwinner, or we're going to arrest him and then just ruin your budget by taking out $10,000 for bail. Ouch. All of the sudden there are advantages. All of the sudden I'm seeing advantages of not knowing a guy who knows a guy. Wrap that up. This is Helmut signing out, and this is a home run with Helmut signing out. And until tomorrow, same time, same place, on Eagle FM. Taking over is David Shombe with Business and Economics segment. So, don't be a yes machine. Read before clicking on something. And if someone starts telling you, I'm from the bank, I'm from this, I'm calling it. It doesn't matter how fancy their English sounds. Please verify. After verify, after verify. You're welcome. And if you miss, if you meet, Prince or Princess Charming, and that Princess Charming with His Royal Highness from Nigeria is asking you for money. Seriously? He's from a royal family and is asking you for money? So you don't think this is, there's just something wrong with that. But until tomorrow, same time, same place, on your favorite radio station. So, another day of not ending up on the ACC list. May we meet again tomorrow.